So, as you may know, you probably know that we have been on this journey of Paint the Town Red, and it's a six-week series, and today's week three. So, I kind of guess we're halfway through today, and so here's the deal: we've been thinking about the fact that some of our friends are not okay. Maybe they're not bleeding from the head or stuff, but they're not okay. They're not okay now. And there's stuff that we can do that can help that. Some of our friends are not okay for eternity. And we spent a bit of time in the last 2 weeks talking about that. And as a result, I'm going to challenge you not to assume that your friends are okay, but to help them get to okay. And as you know, that's not necessarily one step. And you know, I'm not going to go out and find someone who's not okay for eternity and just say, hey, here's how you can be. It's probably going to be a journey. The challenge we faced is to not leave people in the dark. If you were in the dark wandering around, wouldn't you like someone to come and say, here, I've got my little flashlight, and I'm going to bring you into the light. I'm going to lead you toward the light. It's like we're that soldier guy reaching down, picking up a person, and taking them toward the light. Okay, so we are light bringers. Or we are people movers that move people towards the light. And we saw in the first week of the series that there was this group of guys who dug through a ceiling in a house to bring their friend to Jesus. Mark chapter 2. And so they were so desperate to get their crippled friend to Jesus that they just tore a great big gaping hole in the roof. And Jesus didn't say, hey, you're making a mess. He said, hey, you're healed and your sins are forgiven. And so in doing this, in leading our friends toward Jesus, we've said four things so far. We need to identify some lost friends. So up there on the board are all those white pieces of paper, these little cards. And on these, we wrote down the names of five friends who don't know Jesus. There's a couple hanging around here. There's a lot more downstairs as well. If you don't have one of these and you want to do it still, it's the 555 cards. Because one of the things that we did on that same week is we said, we need to pray for our lost friends. Okay, so I am going to pray that they would be okay. Then we said last week that we want to chill with them. We want to find some time in the week where we can get together and hang out somewhere to allow ultimately an opportunity for us to connect so that we could actually talk about something meaningful with them. How many of you had a chance in this last week to chill and connect with a friend that was on your list? Cool. Remember I said that I was going to chill and connect with an old man, Barry, and his wife, Anne? Well, I did that yesterday morning, and we went out, picked them up at 7:30 at the home next to our home. We drove out to Vereeniging, chatted all the way, and we went to this coffee shop and bird sanctuary, nature reserve place, and there were some good conversations along the way. It was tough because they're not interested in God. They couldn't care two hoots about God. God's not part of their life. But I know that God has given me a heart for them. He's put us next to them for a reason. And the amazing thing was when we were getting back yesterday when I was dropping them off, they said, oh, do you know that the new lady that's moved into the home, they have a cottage, is from Cape Town and she's Muslim. And you can really help her. Why don't you come tomorrow to afternoon tea? So our family's going across to their house this afternoon. And this is strange. I'm trying to lead them to Jesus, and they are asking me to lead their tenant to Jesus. And I think in that process, who knows? Maybe it's they starting to realize, hey, there's a life in Jesus that is meaningful. And so today I want to expose you to step number 5 and 6. Okay? And I'm going particularly slow with this because there's girls in our midst. The guys are very bright. I know boys. 1 week I could tell a thought to you, boys would do it no problem. But the girls, the ladies, they're so much of slow. No, that's not why. This is so that each week we can do a little bit and add to this. Okay, so there's going to be 2 steps today. And the first thing that we're going to learn this week, that when you've begun to chill and connect, you want to listen to their story. Okay? So all the images I've used with people with headphones, it's not that you're going to chill out, zone out, but you're listening to their story. Got it? You want to find out what is their story. What is the story of this person on my list? Before I just jump into my story, I want to think about what their story is. And we want to suggest that there's a question you can ask. And you can blame IMTA for this question that we have to all ask this week. Because we were at a coffee shop on Friday morning, and I had like 8 different questions I was going to show you today and teach you all of them. And he said, you know what? I think there's a question that we could ask our friends that would really unlock some good discussion. So I said, okay, I'm listening. And he says, it's the question, are you a Christian? And I thought about that for a moment, and I thought, that's interesting. And it has a one-word follow-up as well. It's this. You ready for it? Why? I'm going to try it on you. Are you a Christian?
Yes.
Why?
Because I love God.
How did you come to love God?
From my parents.
Cool. Your parents love God?
Yes.
Cool. And how old were you when you sort of thought that this God thing, I don't know, what is it, a male or female? Is it a person, God? I don't really understand God. But when was it that you thought that, you know, loving him would be cool, or her?
Like 7.
Cool. Can you see how, like, we're starting to talk? I'm hearing his story. Now, there's a sister over here who's not a Christian, right? So I'm going to ask you, and you're going to say no. Are you a Christian?
No.
No? Why?
I don't know. I don't know God, so I don't want to be.
She's talking, starting to tell a story. So have you never been exposed? Has your family ever like been to a church or something?
Yes, but they didn't like it.
Okay, so can you see she's starting to tell her story? So before I'm unloading on these two here, my story, I'm starting to listen to their story. So here's what I want you to do. Find someone next to you and ask that question and see where it leads. You might have to be thinking and saying, Lord, give me some new questions. You can either be honest, yes, you do. Maybe the other person should be saying no, okay? So you're trying to unlock, see what questions come to mind to go this route. Okay, there you go. There are two ways to ask the question why. Show us how you just asked why.
Show us.
Why?
Why? Okay, that's the one. Why? And then the poor guy's like, oh, don't punch me. Okay? Why? Why not? Or, you know, has it never been a part of your life, your experience? Okay? Here's the challenge, is to ask the question and to listen to their story. In this week, someone on your list. Do you think you could do that? And see what God does. See where it goes. And at some point, yes, sister. If they're not a Christian. You see, that's the goal, because probably the people on your list are not Christians. And what you want to do is give them a chance to talk about it, and maybe the transition is going to be something like, do you mind if I tell you my story? I mean, what do you think you would say if I actually said that to you? Thanks for sharing your story. Would you mind if I share with you my story? It's the least I'm going to get is a, yeah, okay, or, you know what, I don't really have time now, I'm catching a bus. I'm like, no, it's cool, I'll catch a bus with you. Or, hey, what about tomorrow? I'll see you tomorrow at Big Break. Okay, because it's your story. Because that's where we're going, okay? I want you to listen to this video clip that connects where we're going in the next point and this idea of listening and listening well. Listen up.
Listen. You want to know how I'm doing?
You want to know how I'm doing?
Don't ask. Seriously, don't ask if you're not ready to listen.
I'll just say fine.
Say fine.
It's the answer I'm trained to give.
It's the answer I'm trained to give, whether it's true or not.
It's true or not. Most people don't really want to know.
Really want to know. Ask what I've been up to, what I'm working on.
What's up with my family?
Tell me about your sister. I'd like to hear about your job.
Tell me how you felt.
Tell me what you mean.
I'd like to know more about that.
You want to know how I feel when you ask questions
When you ask questions that way?
I feel included.
I feel like I belong.
I feel cared for.
Please. If you already know the answer, then it's not really a question.
It's not a question, is it?
It's a test.
I hate tests.
Don't make me look foolish.
Don't trick me.
Don't use me to make a point.
If you're serious, ask what I think.
Ask how I feel.
Ask an honest question.
Ask an honest question. Give me my honest answer.
Learn from silence.
If I don't answer right away, if the silence goes on too long, ask what that means.
Maybe I'm embarrassed.
Maybe I didn't understand the question.
Maybe you weren't clear.
Maybe you weren't clear. Maybe I'm thinking. Listen with your heart.
Listen with your heart.
Do you believe my answer?
My answer. The very best motives.
Sometimes the very
worst.
I
I'm capable of every kind of deceit.
Just like you.
Just like you.
If you want to know my story.
If you want to know my story, tell me yours.
Tell me yours.
Let me know I'm safe.
Safe.
Let me know you're not perfect either.
When I believe that, I'll talk your ear off.
I'll talk your ear off.
If you want to hear my story, tell me your story. Really want to listen and hear. I want to know. And if you tell me your story, and I can see that you mean, can you put those backlights on? Just the 1 year. And I will talk. I'll talk your ear off, is what she says in the end of that. Okay? And so this, the thing that connects listening is sharing your story. And that's the heart of what we want to do today. Share your story. You have a story, and that we want to unpack that. So what is your story? What is your story? If someone said to you, so what's your story? You're a Christian. Why? At the heart of every story is a before and after. Okay? Can you see the before on the one side? Okay? Now, this is not about smoking, non-smoking, but it's about a lifestyle that is one way and a lifestyle that's another way, before and after. Here's an example of some young guy who shares his before and after story. Thanks, you can kill that light again.
I guess a year and 11 months ago, my dad passed and he died of a heart attack. And that hit me hard. Like, he was the person that I would run to for everything. He was the person, he was basically my closest friend. Like, I could talk to him about anything. And I took it hard. Like, I was started going to the party scene like I never have before. I started drinking, I started doing drugs and stuff. And one of the youth pastors came and he talked to me about just some stuff, like, I guess, counseling me through and just helping me, tell me it was gonna be all right and stuff. And I never really met somebody who was a Christian who, like, I could tell they genuinely cared, and I could tell that they were there for me and they weren't really there for just to talk, or he was there for me. And I gave my life to the Lord about a year and 9 months ago. And ever since then, like, my life has been radically changed. Like, I have done more in the past year and 9 months than I could say I've done, like, in the rest of my life. Like, literally, I could say that. Like, God's changed my life. I guess I wasn't really in check with reality. I guess I just thought that I was invincible. And nothing could happen to me. Nothing. I knew bad things were happening to my friends. Bad things were happening to people like my acquaintances and things, people I really didn't know. But when it hit me, I just knew that I was missing something. When it hit me, I knew that there was something more that I was supposed to be living for. Like, there was something more that I was supposed to be striving for. And that was God.
What are you living for? That's a story, isn't it? It's a cool story, right? It's a true story. It's his story of before he met Jesus. Thanks, you can hit those lights on again. And after he met Jesus. And that's what we want to do today. We want to write a before I met Jesus and an after I met Jesus story. Now, let me share a few examples. My new Bible, my new favorite Bible, is called the Action Bible. It's a big monster of a comic Bible like that. Big hardcover. You can get it at Kumbooks if you're interested. We'll set you back a couple hundred rand. But it tells a few cool stories. For example, there's a story of how Jesus is walking out one day, sees a man who's blind, spits on the ground, he makes the dust and the spit into this like round ball, sticks it in the guy's eye, one for each. Basically, he creates eyeballs out of mud and spit, and then says, go wash your eyes in the pool of Siloam. The guy does it, and he can see, and he's healed. He's got eyes. He was born without eyeballs. He couldn't see, he was blind, but now I can see. And he tells his testimony to people who come and ask questions of him. He said, I really am the man who was blind because Jesus gave me sight. That's dramatic, isn't it? Probably not many of you have had a dramatic thing, but your testimony might revolve around some healing thing. I mean, in that video, the guy had lost his dad, and that led to him going on a path of destruction and then coming to know Jesus. Here's another example. There was a situation one day where Jesus is walking and these men are about to stone a woman to death. They've got big rocks in their hands. They're going to stone her because she's been caught sleeping with a man. We don't know where the man is. Surely the man should be stoned, don't you think? Why is it just the woman at fault? Okay? So he's run off into the night. She's going to be stoned. And she's ashamed. It must have been highly embarrassing, don't you think, for her? So something went, some part of her wasn't cool, wasn't great. But then Jesus comes and he says, go and do not sin anymore. And he forgives her. He accepts her as his daughter. I was ashamed, but now I'm accepted. A testimony. Another one I found in Luke. It's this greedy little tax collector dude who's swindling everyone out of their money. And so here he was doing shady, dodgy stuff. I was greedy, but now Jesus came to my town and he looked at me and said, I'm coming to your house for supper because salvation has come to your house. And I received Jesus as my Lord and Savior. And I'm not greedy anymore. I am generous. Can you see the change in his life that has happened from before he knew Jesus to afterwards? And maybe here is the crux of my story. It is, what is the one thing that has changed in your life since you started following Jesus? How are you different? Some of us today might realize, oh, hold on, crud, I don't have a testimony because I haven't actually started following Jesus. And we're going to explore that in much greater detail next week. But I need to know of a time when I started this journey with Jesus. For me, I grew up the grandson of an amazing man of God, a man who was a missionary in Durban, used to preach the gospel. Many people used to come to know Jesus. And I was proud that Grandpa Bill was my grandpa. And I thought that I was God's child because I thought I'd get to heaven for sure. God would like say, yo, who are you? Oh, Grandpa Bill's my grandpa. You know, William, Bill. Unfortunately, I learned at some point that God doesn't have grandchildren. God only has children. In other words, I can't be a Christian because my grandpa is on that basis. I've actually got to connect with God. And you know what that did? It began to help me, when I became a Christian, actually relate to God directly. It wasn't secondhand anymore. It wasn't a generational thing. It was, I now know God and I can communicate with him. And that brought incredible intimacy in my relationship with God rather than just hearsay because Grandpa Bill is a Christian. So I too don't have this testimony that, oh, Monday to Friday I used to go and kill people. I was a bank robber. You know, most of us, we don't have that sort of dramatic testimony. But we all have a story of how Christ has changed our life. And I want to think before we write our story today, why is it powerful? I found this verse in Revelation 12 that says they triumphed over Satan by two things, by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. In other words, what Jesus did on the cross was the one weapon. It's almost like the sword in the one hand. And on the other side, the fire in the other side to help defeat this evil one was their story, their testimony. And as those two things came together, they defeated even the greatest opponent, Lucifer. And so here's why it's powerful. Because it's a story. And this is going to sound obvious, but don't you love it like when someone goes like, do you mind if I tell you a story? You know, once upon a time. Vincent and I were hanging, you know Vincent, he was our first service. And we were hanging out at his house one day. And you know what we decided to do? We decided to do an experiment to actually make a vessel and to go down into the core of the earth. You know, like to dig a tunnel. And what we did is we created one out of some old parts from his dad's car and stuff. And we put this like drill bit in the front. And we jumped in there and we put like cool suits because we knew it was going to be hot, right? Down in the molten lava. And we got this thing spinning, and it started to go down, was right in front of his house. I'll tell you later, because what happened was that his whole house collapsed. Because you all know, Jonathan, you know that they had to build a new house on the property. They had to bulldoze the other one, because we so destroyed the foundations. But we went down to 7,200 kilometers. And down there, I want to tell you what it's like. It was hot. It was pure molten rock. It was like this gold color molten stuff. And we actually, our vessel was obviously heatproof, and we had suits on and breathing stuff. But here's what began to happen. The heat became so powerful that it started to like melt our vessel. And I knew that at any moment, Vincent and I were going to die for sure. What do you think we did? No, we didn't. We pointed it up for the top, and we started making our way out. But the ground, all those rocks were melting, and just suddenly it looked like it would close. Do you think we made it out? I'll see you next week, and I'll tell you the rest of that story. True story. Okay, maybe that's not a true story. But don't you enjoy a story? Even if the story is not true, you know? And we grow, did you grow up with stories? Did you have a gogo of someone telling you stories every night? You know? There's a lost art of story. It's a story. Secondly, it's a testimony. What's a testimony? It's an eyewitness account. Can you see all the reporters writing down? This is what actually happened. When you go in a court of law and the judge says to you, so what did you witness? You tell him what you saw. You don't make up stuff. You just tell him, well, Vincent and I went down. And then when we came up, the house collapsed. It's a testimony. And it's very hard to argue with that. The lawyer will try. Thirdly, it's a tool. It's a tool to lead Johnny towards Jesus. Because Johnny he's not into Jesus, right? I mean, he's got a smoking gun in his hands, and he's like a cutthroat dude. I don't want to meet Johnny like after hours in a dark alley, right? But it's a tool that as I share my story, he's going to come towards Jesus. Because listen to this. The skeptic may deny your doctrine or attack your church, but he can't honestly ignore the fact that your life has been changed. If your life is different, if you are different to what you were before, that's powerful. It's hard to argue with that. Hey man, once you used to be this sad little midget, and now you're this happy big giant. Like, what changed? People took note that the disciples had been with Jesus, that their lives were different. And so how do we do this? How do we write our story? What's it about? Because that's what we want to do today. And you would have seen people on the way into church were given a piece of paper. That way we'll give you a new one. Here's some guidelines. When you write your story, before I tell you how to write it, it needs to be short. It's going to be like a half law page, not that big page you got downstairs, okay? Less than 100 words. It needs to be simple. Last week, one of my statements was that we can't be using Christianese, like big words and religious words and fancy big things that people don't understand. It needs to be clear that one thing that's changed in my life, I was a grandson. I thought I was God's grandson, but then I realized, no, God only has sons, and I became a son of God. Would you like to know how that happened? And the person's like, yeah, tell me that story. Did you get out alive? Did the rocks fall on you? No, we made it out. You know we made it out because I'm here, right? I mean, we were bruised and battered, but we made it out. And then it's about humility. I don't want to tell this in a proud way. You know, once I was like a loser like you, bro, and then I met Jesus, and I'm not a loser like you anymore. I'm like an awesome dude, and you're just a loser. No, I don't think that would be very nice. So here's what I'm going to have you do. I'm going to have you grab a little piece of paper. And Paul, are you going to help Ken just hand some of those out there at the back there? And there's two sections to our story. It's a before-after story. Before I met Jesus, maybe you could think about these questions only a guide. What was I struggling with or what was difficult? And what made me turn to Jesus? That'll be like a half of the page or a third. Then I'm going to write, so how did you begin to change? And what have been the benefits of you being a Christian? Because maybe you want to ultimately be talking about, you know, being a Christian, this is why I do this. This is why on Sunday, I'm not sleeping in, I'm not at Zoo Lake, I'm not anywhere, I'm here at youth. Friday night, I could be at the best parties in town, but I'm not, I'm at youth. What was it? Okay, so write something about before you met Jesus, something about after, and then you're actually going to share it with a friend. But I'll call you to that in a few minutes. Okay, so you're probably going to spend about 12.7 seconds, no, minutes, writing this. Okay, so you've got some time. Get comfortable. Don't copy your neighbor because their story is not your story. It's what was your life before you met Jesus and what's it like after. You can find a space anywhere. There's some space around the pool table. You can rest on that and write. You can hang on the ceiling if you feel comfortable. Cool. So here's the challenge for this coming week. For you to tell your story to one person on your list. Ideally, the same person that you listen to sharing their story, okay? So you want to find someone that you've been identifying, that you've been praying for, that you've been chilling, connecting with, and find out a bit about their life and look for a natural opportunity to share your story. Just one person. Can you do that? I think you can, and God will open it. So that's what we're doing. We're identifying, we're praying, we're chilling, we're connecting, we are, this week, listening and sharing. Okay? I think even the ladies could do that, guys. But then, guys, you have to do it too. Okay? So next week, we'll look at what comes next, but may God lead you into a significant encounter with someone this week, someone on your list, and may that be life-changing for them. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for what you're doing, how you're preparing us step by step, week by week. We pray that this week you would give us the courage, the boldness, Lord, to be able to share something of the story of our lives and why we do this youth thing and how we've come to know you and what you mean to us and what's changed in our lives. And Lord, that we would keep it simple and that there would be a gentleness and a lovingness about us and no pride. And just let us be humble as we share with people what it means to follow you. And God, we will be quick to look for opportunities, but we will also, Lord God, give you the glory when that happens. And so God, bring us back next week with a testimony to share about what you've done in and through us. And we pray that our friends would get to okay because of who you are and what you're doing in and through us. We pray this in your awesome name. Amen.